Now, so like I said, that's what Paul was just trying to explain. Walking in sincerity. Believe me, I believe a number of people listening to me will be business people. When I say business people, merchants, people who do trading and all of that. You will be, listen, this is almost like a prophetic word. You will be known for quality. Somebody say amen. That word, what I've just said there is very powerful. For a man, Bible talks about a good name. You know what they call a good name? A good name. See, just now I was bragging that I'm recording this message. And how did I prove to you that it would be a good recording? I said, this recorder is made by Sony. That's a good name. If I told you it's made by one Chintua, is it, Pastor, you sure the thing doesn't have melamine inside? You stop worrying. You just have a recording, no go get melamine. You don't know the name. And it sounds Chinese. And the Chinese people have given themselves a bad name, as far as we are concerned. The only times we trust things made in China is when people with good names go to use cheap labor in China to make it. So if you buy a computer made by Toshiba, Dell, Sony, all right, HP, even though they put made in China, you are not bothered because there's a good name, all right, that's covering the iniquity of the bad name. You follow what I'm saying? A good name is good. You know, there's something this man said, Donald Trump, in one of his books, that the name Trump, you know, is a trademark now, right? Trump. That's what he uses to sell. That look, Trump will build a building. Let me give that as an example. Identical to another one beside it. He will sell it at twice the price of the next one. They will have apartments inside. Maybe the other guy is selling apartments for maybe $1 million for one. Condos, all right? These are luxury condominiums. And then he'll tell you, look, my own is 1.7 million. Trump will finish selling first. Before the other guy. Why? Everybody wants to live in a Trump Tower. Now, I'm explaining the meaning of the word a good name. Do you get what I'm saying? In the building industry in New York, and indeed the whole of America, he has become a name. You are getting the principle. If you walk into the market, you want to buy something, all you need to do is, maybe I want to buy a flash. It looks nice. Will it work? The term is, 32 gig. Are you sure? I'm going to tell a story. Then you turn it over and you see the name there, HP or Sony. Then you say, is it a genuine HP? If it turned out that you walked into a dealer who knows electronics and say, yes, this is genuine. Now, this is the HP warranty card. Instantly, though you have never seen a 32 gig flash disk, all right, flash drive, you buy it, you pay good money, you go home. Why? It's HP. Do you follow the point I'm making? That's why I said it's a very deep prayer when I said you will be known for good quality. There are people who travel, they say, I know they have here, I know they have there. But there's this guy in a back lake, anything I buy from, I'm sure is good. That's what they call a good name. Again, let's not forget this. It's not built overnight. There will be a time, as a matter of principle, there will be a time that those who are selling, in quote, bad names will be any more money than you selling the good name. But a day will come. Oh God, you have to understand the way God works. He needs people of holiness and godly sincerity. And first thing he does is to test them. When he has proved them, then he shuts everybody else down that he might elevate them. God does not elevate people until he has brought somebody else down. That's the principle of the word Daniel. He said he brings down one and then he lifts up another. He told Jeremiah, I have anointed you to break down, to cast down, to overthrow and to destroy before you build and you plant. You follow what I'm saying? Now, sitting in light of this, let's just continue from verse 12. So now, when I came to trust for the gospel of Christ and when a door was opened for me by the Lord, I had no rest for my spirit, not finding Titus my brother. And because of my concern for you, that's one of my Bibles puts it, that is with news. I was waiting for Titus to bring me news of you, all right? So because I didn't find him, I took my leave and then I went on to Macedonia. So, but thanks be to God who always leads us in triumph in Christ and manifests through us the sweet aroma of the knowledge of him in every place. He said, for we are the fragrance of Christ to God among those who are being saved and among those who are perishing. That is, we emit a signal to each person, whether you are one being saved or the one that is destined for destruction. He said in verse 16, to those who have been, who are going to be destroyed, he said, to one, an aroma from death to death, and to the other, an aroma from life to life. And who is adequate for these things? Now, listen to that. That our very presence in life, you see, you must note this. That everywhere you go, you signal something. That's what Paul was explaining. Everywhere you go, you do what? You signal something. Now, he said, for some people, we are a signal of death. And for some, we have brought life to them. We are a signal of life. He said, now, who is adequate to do these things? Who in himself can put such an influence upon his person so that for some people, it's a signal of life and for others, it's a signal of death? He said, but we are not like many. There'll just be that question in mind. He hasn't answered it yet. In verse 17, he said, we are not like many peddling the word of God, but as from God, we speak in Christ in the sight of God. Now, and here I'm still going to emphasize some of the things we said earlier. I want to emphasize something, all right? From verse 16, he said, who then, this is today's English version, Good News Bible, who then is capable of such a task? In verse 17, he says, we are not like so many others who handle God's message as if it were cheap merchandise. But because God has sent us, we speak with sincerity in his presence as servants of Christ. It's so important I emphasize that point, all right? He said, does this sound as if we were again boasting about ourselves? That's chapter 1, verse 1 of chapter 3. Could it be that, like some other people, we need letters of recommendation to you or from you? You yourselves are the letter we have written on our hearts for everyone to know and read. It is clear that Christ himself wrote this letter and sent it by us. It is written not with ink, but with the Spirit of the living God, and not on stone tablets, but on human hearts. Now, maybe, I don't know what I should, let me read through the rest, okay? And then I will say a few things. Now, I'm now in verse 4, all right? Now, I'm back to reading my own Bible, New American Standard. They say, and such confidence we have through Christ toward God, not that we are adequate in ourselves. Now, don't forget the question I asked earlier. And in verse 16 of chapter 2, and who is adequate for these things? Now, he begins to answer it in verse 5. Not that we are adequate in ourselves to consider anything as coming from ourselves, but our adequacy is from God, who also made us adequate as servants of a new covenant. Not of the letter, but of the Spirit, for the letter kills, but the Spirit gives life. They now began to describe, now I won't read all of it because of time, he began to compare the ministry that he has, all right, with that of Moses. That he called out of Moses the ministry of death, that had letters engraved on stones, which are the commandments. He said even that one, now when he says death, now it's in comparison with what he has here. He said even that one came with glory, all right? Like I told you, Paul uses many words to explain something. Now, he now went ahead to explain that the ministry of Moses, please, I won't read everything because of time, all right? That the ministry of Moses came with glory. That's where he was going. That Moses' ministry had the glory. And that glory was upon his face when he came down from the mount. When he came down, people couldn't look at Moses' face because of he was shining so bright as if you're trying to look at the sun. And that was because he had been in the presence of God. So they had to cover his face. And Paul was now alluding to the fact that the covering, so to speak, was so that people will not see the glory as it is fading. As it is fading. He's trying to bring out the point that one was fading. And that means it's an inferior ministry. Please, don't forget what I'm saying. Now, he's trying to answer a question. Who is adequate for these things? All right? Now, at the end of the day, he now says something. Let's get down to verse 15. He said, but to this day, whenever Moses is read, a veil lies over their heart. Talking about the old covenant still. The fact that covenant was enacted through the instrument of Moses and was inferior to the one that we are having in Christ Jesus. Let me just start again from verse 14. It said, but their minds were hardened, for until this very day, at the reading of the old covenant, the same veil remains unlifted, because it is removed only in Christ. But to this day, whenever Moses is read, a veil lies over their hearts. But whenever a man turns to the Lord, the veil is taken away. Now the Lord is the Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. Now, this is what we now do as believers. Which, listen to this, oh, don't forget something. I want to note this. The question he's trying to answer is what? Who is adequate to be a signal of death to some people and a signal of life to other people? Nobody can do it by himself. He's not explaining the principle. Moses was an instrument of the old covenant, right? And he had the glory upon his face. Now, that glory was fading. Notice that Moses was a minister. Do you follow? Now, he was now bringing out an issue that for us to have the same glory so that we will be effective ministers of the new covenant. Therefore, what we need is what? Glory also upon our faces. Now, how do we get our own glory? That's the issue. I hope I've not lost you. Oh, it's not my fault. It's Paul. Can be quite difficult to, you know, he says so many things. That's why Paul said, Peter said, some of the things he says are hard to be understood. All right, so we just want to pick out some important issues here and there. Now, let's now continue reading. Now, as opposed to Moses now, verse 16 says, whenever a man turns to the Lord, the veil is taken away. Now, the Lord is the Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. But we all, with unveiled face, beholding as in a mirror the glory of the Lord, are being transformed into the same image. That is that image of glory. From glory to glory. That is, we take it step by step. Just as from the Lord, the Spirit. Now, I won't stop reading now. I will stop in a while. He said, therefore, since we have this ministry, as we received mercy, we do not lose heart, but we have renounced things hidden because of shame, not walking in craftiness, nor adulterating the word of God, but by the manifestation of truth, commending ourselves to every man's conscience in the sight of God. Now, and if our gospel is veiled, it is veiled to those who are perishing, in whose case the God of this world has blinded their minds, that is, he has put a veil over their faces, that they might not see the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ, who is the image of God. I just have to keep reading. He said in verse 5, for we do not preach ourselves, but Christ Jesus as Lord, and ourselves as your bond servants for Jesus' sake. Now, I will stop here. Oh, I actually don't feel like stopping there. But let me stop. Because, you see, one thing goes into another. Because the next thing he tries to bring out is that we have this treasure in earthen vessels. All right? Let me leave it there. Okay? Later on, I'll continue from there. Now, what was the point that Moses was making here? Remember the question we said he was answering is what? Who is adequate for these things? And let me make it very practical to our lives, your life and mine. Now, sometimes you hear somebody like me preach, and you know, I have reached a point now where I have said so many things that even if I don't believe them, those things now believe me. I don't know whether you get what I'm saying. You don't get the point. You can believe something so much, say so much, that even when you start forgetting, the things that you have said, they have not forgotten that you said them. And they will come to pass and then remind you that you said so. I don't know whether you get the point. That the Bible said that it might be fulfilled that which was spoken. Do you follow me? Now, I like to get down to mundane things, practical things, so that we can understand. Now, you start preaching, as an example. And you say to people that, all of you are hearing me. Listen, one day, one of you will write a check for 1 billion naira and use it to sponsor the preaching of the gospel. And I talked to somebody who, if he sells his shirt, his phone, his shoes, now you get what I'm saying? And even collect rent back from his landlord. Put everything together, 50,000 naira, not go complete. Now, no bank is trying to employ him, no telecom company, no oil company, no gas company, nothing. No bank is even planning to give him a loan for a business. And you preach that kind of message. Now, let me tell you something about the word of God. If you will hear it enough, all right, with a basic heart of faith, you hear it enough. A time comes, the world starts carrying you. You don't try to believe it anymore. That's what they call the rivers of Zion. That is what it does, is that it carries you. You don't have to struggle. I mean, imagine Moses, as young as he was, did he have to paddle the small bed they made for him on the waters to go and meet anybody? Hey, the stream just carry and go one place. Somebody catch him, they carry him into the palace. What was his own? Do you understand what I'm trying to say? He was just born, and his parents said, this guy is a beautiful child. And that's the way it is. God has determined that you are a beautiful offspring of His. All right? And you've been born at an appropriate time. You now ask, in quote, now, you now have made the mistake of coming to hear somebody like me. So you have succeeded by force. Yes, listen. That is, the daughter of Pharaoh will nurse you to greatness. You don't have to struggle. What I'm telling you is it's an absolute fact. Now, you talk like that. So Paul said, hey, who can do such a thing? That's the point I'm trying to make. Now, please, get the point. What Paul said, they are very practical for life. All right? Now, the summary of what he was trying to say was comparing that to Moses. So let's not talk about Moses. Let's sit down on the gospel of Christ Jesus. What he explained is simple. That number one, the ability to do this, two sides I'm looking at it, the man preaching now, that's what angle Paul's looking at it from. The man preaching, the man ministering, that was the angle he was focusing on it from. That how are you able to get such an effective result in the life of people? Are you teaching them business principles? I'm not sabi. But there are two things. Anyone who believes, that's what we're focusing on, we have become a signal of progress for such a person. There's one young man, somebody told me that anytime, I think I mentioned it to you before, anytime I'm preaching on air, he records everything I say. That he records it. He records, that is, once it's 7:30 on Thursdays, 8:30 on Monday, his tape is waiting. He just press record. And when he finishes, you know why he does that? Anytime issues come up in business, you just put in one tape, lie down, and hear it. You're getting the point. Listen, that's, for me, the most potent weapon any human being can have on earth. Listen, to run to God's word for solution to your problems. Listen, there are two ways we look at the word of God. We think, number one, God now tells you what to do. That is true. Sometimes he does that. Other times, he doesn't tell you what to do. He tells you what will be done. Now, you don't difference what to do and what to be done. What will happen? You can finish, maybe as a businessman, as an entrepreneur, or as a married woman, whatever it is, you have an issue. You go home, you listen to a message. By the time you are through, the Satan causing problems has disappeared. You haven't gotten up. You have not prayed. But you see, as the word was coming forth, faith was rising in your heart. And if you listen to that, my series on radio, faith is not a state of the heart. It's an effective force that shoots arrows from inside. You don't even know it's going out. That's what the Bible calls what? A shield of faith. What's a shield? It's a very strong material. Do you get my point? So when attacks are being launched into, it's bouncing off the shield. So that word builds such a strong faith in your heart. By the time you rise up, he said, daughter, where are they that accuse you? I don't know. They were here a while ago. They've all vanished. Do you get my point? No, do you know? Look, by the time Sennacherib was trying to attack Isaiah, what did Isaiah do? He went into the temple and went and talked to God about it. By the time he came out, the guy vanished. The Bible said God caused him to, you know, something happened here and there, heard the rumor and this and that. At the end of the day, everybody packed his load and left. Are you getting the point I'm making? Those are the two things that God does. One, he can give you wisdom. Like if you heard me on radio yesterday, I said the Spirit gives what? Understanding. But there are times you just hear a word. It doesn't need any cooperation from you more than the fact that while you were hearing it, you are believing it. And from there, forces are released. You don't realize it. Cooperating with the Holy Spirit, your soul releases forces out of you that takes care of issues. You come out, the problem is gone. Maybe they were giving you a quick notice of your business premises before. You come out next, they say, let's negotiate with these people. And people appear. Before they start the negotiation, they say, we are very sorry. Actually, it was not, that notice was not meant for you. What happened was that they start telling stories and you're just looking. And problems just disappear. You have not done anything about it. Do you follow the point I'm making? No, it works. Believe me. There is no, you can't have enough, as much results in your life as the type that come out of the imbibing of the word of God. You can't. Listen, I don't understand why Christians are too busy to hear God's word. I don't understand it. In fact, the problem I have, I've told my wife a number of times that I wish I had the opportunity, you understand, to go somewhere and somebody just decided I must preach to you twice a week like this. There's one pastor that came here. He comes on Saturdays. Is he here? No, he's not. The first day he came here, or we met somewhere, and then he now came here that day. Ah! He said, like, my prayer has been answered. I'm the one praying to people every day. Finally, I found where somebody will be preaching to me. So it's every Saturday evening, he's showing up here. Believe me, this one I know for sure. If you get blessed as a pastor on Saturday evening, when you show up on church on Sunday, hey! they will know something has happened. I mean, after you've been so blessed, you must bless somebody else. Now, please, I'm explaining the principle. So we're talking about what Paul was trying to explain there. Our time is really gone, but let me just try and summarize that. So what was he saying? That it is not us that's doing it by ourselves. I'm summarizing everything. But that our sufficiency, that is, our ability is of God. Listen, that God will open doors that you can't open by yourself. Do you understand my point? Now, talking as a preacher, he's saying that how do you get these things to happen to people? I don't know. I don't have to do anything. But there is a glory that dwells upon me that get the results. Do you understand my point? How do I get that glory? It's simple. I behold the face of God. Do you understand my point? And I am transformed into his own image. Now, having been transformed into his image, automatically, everyone that beholds my face, one or two things happen to them. Either they are blessed or they are cursed. Nobody lives neutral. Do you follow the point I'm making? I said something on radio, and let me say it again. I'm not joking about it. God knows I believe what I'm saying, absolutely. I said there is nobody. I've seen people. One young man came that, since I started teaching on radio about 3 years ago, he has listened to virtually every broadcast. I've heard a number of people tell that kind of thing. And let me make bold to say, there is nobody who hears everything I'm saying, all right, and believes it. Now, I'm not talking about even trying to obey it and practice, but totally imbibes it. Listen, none of them will die young. None of them will be average in life. Every single one will succeed absolutely and be outstanding in life. I mean what I'm saying. How is it that anybody can do that? I am not sufficient of myself. Now, you're getting what Paul was trying to explain. That our ability is of God, who has made us able as ministers of the new covenant. All I need to do as a person is behold the face of God, and then when I talk, do you get what I'm saying? Then I talk with the authority of Christ Jesus, not mine. Oh, I don't know what I'm saying is making sense. Listen, and that, look, you see, I'm talking because I'm a preacher. This is the same principle that works with every believer. Just like my job is to preach, and people that hear are transformed, and I say, how come? Say, it's not me. It's the word of God. It's the glory of God that comes upon my face as I behold God's word. Do you follow my point? In the same manner, the businessman will behold the glory. Listen, business premises will respond. Oh, listen to me. Landlord will respond. Suppliers will respond. Do you follow what I'm saying? I have read enough to know that nobody in life struggles to succeed. None. I read Donald Trump's book, and he said that he encourages every businessman to play golf. He said one day he met this man, I think Nick Faldo or Nick Price. He mentioned the name of one of those great golfers. And he told the man, he met the man, oh, my name is Trump. He said, you know, I've made more money playing golf than you. And the man said, what kind of pompous? He said, the guy didn't get his point. You play golf. Like one guy, I think was there's one guy who won the tournament a few days ago, and that should be Vijay Singh, one of them. Vijay Singh, yes. And that's was going to get like $5 million. That's what he gets. But Donald Trump, while playing golf, he negotiates deals of hundreds of millions of dollars. That was what he meant. That when I'm playing golf, I negotiate deals. That I go to the golf club that the big people come to. Now, I'm bringing out something. The man is worth billions and billions and billions of dollars, and he's doing all that. But listen, all he needs to do is come up with an idea, then walk up to a bank, fund this idea. Do you get my point? Now, they fund the idea, he builds the building, he sells it, pockets the profit, pays them back their money. It's on to the next project. Listen, it is important. This is how God does it. God has ordained that men will serve you. When God was placing, when Isaac was blessing Jacob, and then Esau was absent, look at the blessing he blessed Jacob. He explained to him that men will serve you. Now, look, I said before that, look, when the Bible says you will live in houses you not build, there are different levels to it. You know that. One of them is that you will rent a very good apartment that you can afford, and the man built for millions of naira. What's your problem? You pay him a few thousands every month and you are comfortable. You are living in houses you not build. I hope you know that. I know what God was going for absolutely is the fact that you will own the house. But until you get to that point, somebody will build a house and you will live in it. Paying a bit of rent is convenient. Then when you're tired, you park out, you go somewhere else. Now, please, I hope you're getting what I'm trying to say. Remember the example I gave you that day, that Larry King? I said Larry King was just a radio talk show host. Then Ted Turner built CNN and said, I want a talk show like none other. There was one chap who interviewed me some time ago. Call him. They called Larry King, and he had never done TV. CNN was where he started TV from. And now he's Larry King. If you know what I'm going to say. I mean, could he build CNN? No. Somebody has built CNN, he will ride upon it. Let me tell those of you who are dreaming of owning airlines, don't throw away the dream. You hear what I said? Don't throw away the dream. Nobody buys airplanes. Nobody. Except those who want to fly it around. Commercial people don't buy it. You know what they do? They lease it. And you don't have to have money to lease it. You know what you need? Favor. What do you mean by favor? Favor, government will give you a license. Favor, one bank will guarantee the loan or whatever, or you know. And then that's it. They drop 2 737s. You started Lagos, Abuja, Abuja, Port Harcourt. You just something like that. After you've run that successfully for 2 years, then one day you have the idea that why don't you have a 747? And they just check. This would have done well over 2 years. Running just 2 or 3 small planes, 727, 747, Bombardier and stuff like that. And 737, all the small ones. So let's get a 747. And that's it. Favor again. Like I told my wife, get a plane that does Nigeria to, that's Lagos to, what is it called? Houston Street. Don't come with it. That's where, look, 2 cities in America where Nigeria, Boku, New York and Houston. Don't bother going anywhere else. Your plane will be full every day. Believe me, you don't have to buy anything. What you need is what? Grace. That's what Paul was saying. We operate with holiness and godly sincerity. And we walk by the grace of God amongst everybody, especially towards you. You know what that means? We preach the word of God to you. We don't try to manipulate you to change. It's God's word that transforms you. It's not us. We don't try to beg. We don't cajole anybody. Sometimes I see people shouting, what's wrong with people? Say, what's wrong with you? Look, nothing's wrong with anybody. My friend is supposed to tell me something. Say, one man told him something. And I said, I wish every pastor would know this. He was trying to, you know, and if you know my friend, he can be quite, you know, bossy and hard and, you know, he can see you on the road. I say, why were you not Bible study? That is how he does it. You know me, I'll just greet you. Hey, how now? I'm a long time and I'm gone. You come. Say, you come. All right, where were you? I didn't see that. By the time he's through with you, that's the kind of person that he is. I think one day I was rebuking one man and we just discussed it. So the man said, Pastor, wait. Get this thing very clear. Now with free heart, all of us come here. Nobody forces us come here. He said, we just decided to come. It's not by force. He said that, he didn't mean I sounded funny. He said, but bank. Said the man told me the truth. Said, this one you are raking, Pastor. Understand this one. You didn't force me to come here. If I don't want to go, what are you going to do? No, really. And I said, look, sometimes if I have pastors like friends who do like that. They rake and rake. I say, my oga, come. This raking is not necessary. You can't force anybody to change. Identify those who want to work with you and work with them. Do you get what I'm saying? And then serve the word of God to everybody. And it transforms people. It changes them. That's all. You don't have any other thing to do. Do you get the point? In summary, with plenty words, that's what Paul was trying to explain here. With plenty words, that's what I'm trying to explain. One, don't forget the things. 3 things we pointed out today. Or let me just name them. Is it 3 or 4? We talked about holiness and godly sincerity. We talked about the wisdom of the flesh. And we talked about what? The grace of God. That's a summary of everything down to chapter 4. That's what I was trying to explain. And I have tried to break it down. He was talking from the standpoint of a minister of the word of God, of the gospel. But I'm adding the fact that we are all ministers. The Bible says clearly that we are being equipped by the ministers of the word for the work of the ministry. In everything that you are going to minister in, be it in educating children. Listen, I'm a university lecturer. The first year I taught in Enugu here, I got an award, best lecturer in pathology and pharmacology. My award was in 2 areas. The most important one was in delivering the best understood lectures. When I got it, I wasn't surprised. I said, they don't get the point. It's an anointing. Listen to me. That award was given only once the year I came. They were doing it before until that year. It hasn't been given since. But let me tell you, this is not brag. This is not boasting. Look, this is a matter of fact. No, that was that. Let him that boast in one thing, that he knows me. All right? That's it. This is a matter of fact. The sufficiency is of God, not of myself. I have this treasure, Paul said, in earthen vessel. I didn't want to get into that. It's a treasure. I am the earthen vessel. I can say it boldly. If they gave that award 10 times, I will have won it 10 times. I needed to say that, so I know it's not a matter of bragging. The first thing, I told one of my colleagues, I said, is that Vanky? I said, oh God, you don't get the point. It's in the blood. I was born to teach. I don't try. It's an anointing. Sometimes I want to step into my lecture hall and maybe I'm unhappy or something, something upset me. As I'm about to enter, I pause for like 2 seconds and I say a word of prayer under my breath. Father, in the name of Jesus, I go to go and bless these young people this morning. As I step into the class, I almost can feel the anointing come upon me. The first few months, I thought, the gist spread around UNEC, College of Medicine, that our new lecturer is too much. I said, you don't get the point. It's not the guy. There is a treasure in what? In an earthen vessel. What I used to teach the Bible, it spills over into you people's lives, you know, in teaching pathology. I have had it. Look, students will ask me questions. I didn't know the answer until they finish asking. Before I start thinking, I'm not joking about that. Before I finish thinking, all right, an answer pops into my head, and I should answer. Oh, this is a postgraduate doctor, right? One of the residents. He was giving a tutorial one day. We call it a seminar. He was delivering a seminar and talking. By the time he finished, I said, what have you tried to explain? He tried. Okay, when he finished trying, I said, can I do it for you now? I broke everything down into like 4 sentences. I said, that was the point we're trying to make. I can't forget the kind of smile that came upon his face. The guy looked at me like, this man, where have you come from? No, I'm telling you. And when I see this, I say, look, that's why, you know what? This man, you think he said too much. No! It's called what? A treasure in earthen vessel. That's the meaning of the word grace. Now, what I want everybody to understand is, everybody has his own grace somewhere. There is a grace you have in this particular place. The problem we have in life is that everybody wants to be somebody else. Do you get my point? Let me use myself as an example. Maybe one young man has listened to Pastor Banky for years. Then the first day you give him a microphone, he wants to start talking like him. For the first few years, it's okay. Do you understand? He's a small boy. Allow him. But he had better outgrow that crap. No, he has to outgrow that nonsense and become himself. Sometimes he's not supposed to be a preacher. Yes. Ministry is not only preaching. No. I need to say that again and again. Even the ministry of the word is not only this kind of job. People do different things. In the same manner, not everybody will walk behind a counter in a bank. It's not necessary. You follow the point I'm making. Our problem in life is that which one makes money? Which one makes money? Which one makes money? Once we hear which one makes money, the grace vanishes. The man gets there, he's a struggler. He's always struggling. He's always struggling. He's always struggling. Because what brought him there was what? Which one makes money? He didn't look for the place where which one made grace. Do you understand my point? Which one releases my grace? Look, in Jesus' name, I'm a blessed man. Amen? Amen? But let me tell you as a matter of fact. If it is money, ministry has not given me money. But believe me, it has given me all no money can buy. Listen, no, we'll talk under some other things. Maybe we're talking about our seeds. The fact is that if you find something that you have the grace for and it doesn't make money, do something on the side to just keep body and soul together. But don't ever neglect that thing that the grace is upon. Because eventually, that is where God will use to give you honor in life. I hope you've gotten my point. Yes, sir. All right, let us give God thanks.